The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26, "And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." We're ending up this year, and beginning next Sunday we'll be into a new year. Actually, this week, I guess Wednesday night, we'll be into the new year already in our prayer meeting. And I just want to preach on the subject of strong confidence. I'm glad I can look back with confidence. I'm glad I can look forward with confidence. And I want to try to encourage you today in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1. The Bible said, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now." Now, here's where the Lord birthed this message in my heart in verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I thank God that I know that I have confidence, and I thank God that I know where my confidence is placed. Amen. It's not placed in the flesh. It's not placed in the things of this world, but my confidence is placed in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for these that have gathered around the Word of God, and I pray you'd make this pastor a blessing to these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for touching Sister Marge so quickly, helping her, Lord, to get back to church after her surgery. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for using her this day to be a blessing to so many of your children. And I pray, Lord, that you'd make us all a blessing to one another. And Lord, that we would understand something about strong confidence when we leave here this day. Lord, I pray you'd touch our voice and our throat and help us, Lord, that we might be able to deliver that you put in our heart. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Well, let me ask you this. You're watching the news, I'm sure, at least somewhat. How much confidence do you have in Congress? How much confidence do you have in the government? How much confidence do you have in the stock market? How much confidence do you have in those, beloved, that are just, it seems, adamant about destroying our country, destroying our values? This country, beloved, was built on a foundation of this book, on Judeo-Christian principles. And so many today seem to be adamant about destroying those principles. The principle of marriage, they're trying to change that. The principle of the drug culture, they're wanting to legalize drugs, legalize liquor. Years ago, they thought that would bring the revenue. Can I tell you, the price tag's been a whole lot bigger than the revenue. Anytime you go contrary to God's word, the price tag will always be a lot bigger than the revenue that comes in. And the Lord has just worked in my heart about this area of strong confidence. And I want to show you in Philippians chapter 1 how he spoke to my heart about this. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Now, the Bible said, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." In other words, beloved, if you don't believe the Bible, if you don't believe in the Lord, then you're never going to enjoy strong confidence. But if you can just believe that God created the heavens and the earth, like the Bible said, if you can just believe that he sent his Son down here because he loved us, because he knew that we were sinful men and sinful women that needed a Redeemer and was willing to take our place. If we can just believe, beloved, the truths of the Word of God, that's what the Bible means in the fear of the Lord, is strong confidence, the trusting Him and believing upon Him. The Bible said here in the book of Philippians, I want to give you several things. First of all, I believe we can have strong confidence in the grace of our Lord. In 1987, I know how I got saved. I didn't get saved on my own merit. I didn't deserve what God did for me that night. But by grace, I was saved that night through faith. The Word of God said here in these verses here, grace be unto you. You say, preacher, by the grace of God, I was saved. By the grace of God, in this passage of Scripture, you see faithfulness. You see Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus. You see the peace of God in verse number 2. You see him remembering each other in prayer in verse number 3 and verse number 4. And I say that the grace of God, it's by his grace that we see faithfulness in this passage. It's by his grace that we see fellowship in this passage. I want to say this morning. I'm not saying this to build anybody up, but I believe I know why Sister Marge has pushed her body to get back. She got up at 3 this morning to begin to get ready. I'll tell you why. It's because she missed the fellowship of God's people. Oh, I worry about people that don't miss the fellowship with God's people. I mean, I look forward to going to church. And the Bible said here in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm going to tell you, fellowship is something that only the Lord can give. In the world, you can have friends, but most of the time when your money runs out, your friend run out. Say amen. But I'm telling you, when you get in a low place in the family of God, that's when you find out how precious fellowship is, amen, around the things of God. And so there's faithfulness, there's fellowship in the grace of God. But by the grace of God, there's also fruit. Look at verse number 11. It said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Brother Ralph was leading the choir in the song, Praise Him. Beloved, he's worthy to be praised this morning, because he's the one that filled us with the fruits of righteousness. Amen. And so it's a strong confidence in the grace of our Lord. But I want to give you something else this morning. I want to think about this. You know, we're facing a new year. He said, preacher, are you confident that you'll make it through the new year? Well, one way or the other, I will. I'll either make it through down here, or I'll make it through to over there, but one way or the other, I will make it through. Say amen. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean. Look at this passage in verse number 6. I'm not only do I see confidence in the grace of our Lord, but I see confident, I'm confident that the race will be run. When God saved you, and when he saved me, we entered a race, and the Word of God talks about us running with patience the race that's set before us. I was 27 years old when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I thought that somebody 59 years old was old. I'm still 58. I'm not old till tomorrow. How many knows what I'm talking about? Beloved, those years have gone by just like that. Just like that. Daddy said, son, the older you get, the faster time will go. I was in high school. I thought, Daddy, you have lost your mind. I thought I would never get out of high school. Now, it helped when I met a sweetheart in high school. Time passed a little quicker, amen? And I got out of high school, waited on my wife to be 18 years old so we could get married, and her mama couldn't say no more. And we got married, and the first thing you know, we had little youngins running around their feet. And the next thing you know, you got little grand youngins running around your feet. I'm just telling you, beloved, we're not here forever. Our confidence better not be in here. Our confidence better be in the hereafter. Our confidence better not be in ourselves. Our confidence better be in our Savior, the one that can see us through. this race. Let me give you three things the Lord spoke to my heart about in verse number 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Never in my life have I seen this exactly like the Lord spoke to my heart. First of all, there's a singular focus. You want to know why many people don't have any confidence? Because their focus is here, 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 there, there, there. It's everywhere. But the Bible said, being confident in this very thing. There's one thing that Paul has in mind here. His focus is singular. He's not looking all around and backwards and forwards and up and down. He's got his eyes, the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. Beloved, not only is it a singular focus, this very thing, but it's a Savior focus. The next word is he. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is not about us, it's about him. Our confidence, beloved, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Amen? And confidence is as we focus on him and see that it's him. It's him. It's Jesus that'll see us through the race that we've entered into when we got saved by the grace of God. It's a singular focus. It's the Savior focus. He. It's the saints focus. The Word of God said, until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now. 32 years ago when the Lord saved me, I began to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, preacher, 32 years later, he ain't come yet. The key word's yet. The Bible said, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. But not only did I begin to look, Brother Ralph, for the coming of the Lord, I began to live for the coming of the Lord. I began to live my life in such a way. Listen, I'm not perfect, but one day I will be. But I began to live my life in such a way that if he were to come, I wouldn't have to stand with my head down, ashamed before him at his coming. Listen, I'd hate to be on a golf course this morning if I was a child of God and Jesus come, or in a boat or in a deer stand. I'd hate to be out there doing my own thing this morning if Jesus were to come, and me knowing him as my Savior and my Lord, the one that died for me, and I'm saying to him with my life, I don't have time for the house of God. I don't have time for the Word of God. I don't have time to talk to God. What an awful place, what an awful shape that would be to be in. The saints' focus is the day of Jesus Christ. I want to say something to you this morning, or say it kindly, but every one of us today are going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad, the Word of God said. The saints of God, listen, I'm not going to answer that day for my sin. My sin was judged at Calvary. Thank God my sin has been put away. But I am going to answer that day for my service. I'm going to answer to God for those years that I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm going to answer to him. Well, you say, preacher, I'm not saved. Well, I tell you, there's another reckoning day for that crowd. That day will be the great white throne judgment, beloved. Listen, and that day, people that are not saved will wish and listen and put their confidence in the Lord, not in man, not in a church, not in a government, but in the Lord Jesus himself. I'm confident that the race will be run. Let me give you this morning. Strong confidence. The Bible said his children shall have a place of refuge. You say, preacher, why do we need a place of refuge? I'll be honest with you. Anybody in this room ever passed out? Raise your hand if you've ever passed out.
when you pass out, things just kind of go white or go black or something like that. How many remembers the uncertainty in that moment? Yeah. Beloved, you don't know if you're going to wake up or not. Say amen. I'm going to tell you this. If Jesus doesn't come first, there's going to come a day when you're not going to wake up down here. But you're either going to wake up in the presence of God. The Bible said to be absent from the body for the children of God is to be present with the Lord. Or it would be like the rich man that died. The Word of God said in hell he lift up his eyes. That's just the truth. Everybody's going to be somewhere forever. God loved us so much, he wants us to put our confidence in him because he's the only one that can take us to where he is forever. That wonderful place called heaven where there's no sin, no sickness, no sorrow, no tears, no death. That's what the Bible talks about in this wonderful place that God has gone to prepare for us that know him as Lord and Savior. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, listen to this passage of Scripture, please. The Bible said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. How many understands that we're living in a generation that wants it now? I believe some people would consider Christ if they just had him now and then had all the benefits now. But I'm going to say some things later in the message, beloved. There's some things that come with Christ that this world doesn't want anything to do with. I'll show you in the Word of God. Beloved, this morning, the Bible said, yet a little while, he that shall come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And the writer there, we believe Paul in Hebrews 10, said, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In another place, Paul said, there are going to be some saved so as by fire. In another place, Paul said to the woman that the young man that was committing incest with his stepmother, he said, turn such a one over to Satan that for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ or the day of judgment. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, when we have strong confidence, it makes us want to walk with him. It makes us want to talk with him. It makes us want to live for him. And that's what's going on in the life of the Apostle Paul in here in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. Number 3, there's confidence in the grace of our Lord. Confidence that the race will be run. There's also confidence in the place where we're put. Watch what the Bible said here in verse number 12. He said, I would that you understand, brethren, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The Apostle Paul, regardless of whether he was in prison or out of prison, in the palace or out of the palace, he knew he was walking with God and he had strong confidence that he was right where God wanted him to be. Beloved, there's a message right here for us today. Did you know that there are people that have lived the year 2018 from January all the way through December and have no confidence that they are where God wants them to be in this world? That's a sad situation. I'll tell you what I believe if a person will be honest with God and talk to God, God will show them the will of God for their lives. Paul knew he was where. You say, preacher, what kind of place was it? Number one, it was a place to further the gospel. The Bible said here that they've fallen out rather, in verse 12, to the furtherance of the gospel. The Bible said in verse 14, waxing confident by my bonds, many of the brethren were much more bold to speak the word without fear. There are some people in this world that believe when a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a soul winner stands with the message of the gospel that they're arrogant, that they approach him with this attitude. Who do you think you are? I want you to know something, beloved. If a person is proclaiming truth from this book, it's not who we think we are, but who we know he is. And we're trying to introduce the world to him because he's the one that made the difference in our life. And Paul is talking about this place. It was a place to further the gospel. Praise God for that. And then not only was it a place to further the gospel, but the Lord spoke to my heart about this. It's a blessing, beloved. It's a place to fight for the gospel. I got to thinking about the Lord leading us this way, the Bible way. I had ordered $235 worth of new prayer cards in January of the year that I came. I don't even remember what year it was, Brother Rick. This coming Mother's Day is 6 years ago. I know that much. I had ordered $235 worth of new prayer cards. And in February, Brother Rick called me. And God led us through the scripture and through prayer to come this way. But let me tell you something. I know that God brought me to further the gospel. Amen. Take it on down the road a little further. Thank God for the ability to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only, beloved, a place to further the gospel, but it's a place Paul was standing in to fight for the gospel. You say, preacher, you don't have to fight for the gospel. Then why did Jude say, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? But let me tell you something right now. If we're not careful, it'll seep right into our church. The gospel's being watered down everywhere. People are being taught, don't worry about repentance. Well, there's a problem with that. You say, preacher, what's the problem? Jesus. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. There has to come a day and an hour, a time, when a man, woman, boy, or girl is tired of sin, tired of the guilt, and they turn from their sin and turn to the Savior of the world, the Lord. And they go hand in hand. You can't repent without believing, and you can't believe without repenting. They go hand in hand. And the Apostle Paul, what he said here, he said in verse number 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Somebody said, well, the gospel don't need to be defended. I'm going to just say this, beloved. Here's a man of God that stood up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you're not going to change it. You're not going to trim it. Say amen. It's the gospel. Amen. You could ask the average Baptist today, what is the gospel? You'd get a lot of answers. Most people, I guess, right off the bat would say, what's the good news? Well, what's the good news? The gospel is good news. It's better than that. It's the best news you'll ever hear in your life. I think the choir sang the world's greatest story. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. We just came out of Christmas. You say, well, preacher, why did you mention that? Because if Christ was not born of a virgin, the way the Bible said, then he doesn't qualify to be the Savior that the Bible says. But he was born sinless. He lived sinless, holy, harmless. He died in your place and in my place. That's the gospel. He rose again the third day. He's coming back. That's the gospel. And beloved, Paul knew he had a place to fight for the gospel. But then it was a place for the faith of the gospel. Look at verse 27. The Bible said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's that faith that causes us, beloved, look in verse 21, for me to live as Christ, but to die as gain. In verse 22, Paul said, I live in the flesh, the fruit of my labor. What I shall choose, I want not. If you'll look at this, beloved, right here, Paul said he's in a strait betwixt the two. He has a desire and go to be with Christ, and the Word of God uses these words, which is far better. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I promise you this. What he has waiting for the children of God is far better than what we have down here. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm enjoying down here. Amen. It's not all roses. It's not all peaches and cream. But I tell you, it's a life I wouldn't trade for anything this world has to offer. Amen. The peace, the joy. Gathered around yesterday with my family, over the holidays with my family. What a blessing to know that He is real. Watch this now. We don't get to choose. We have to leave that up to Him. Paul said in verse 23, I'm in strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And the Bible said in verse 25, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance, for your furtherance and joy of faith. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God for something called strong confidence. Confidence in the grace of God. I want to tell you something. I am not perfect, but Jesus did a good job that night. He saved me. He sent me out of a broad way into a narrow way. I went down that night to talk to Him. All I wanted to do was escape the damnation of hell. That's all I wanted to do. I knew that's where I was headed. But He did so much more than just pull me out of hell that night. He has a big bucket. He don't just empty us out, Brother Gale, of all that mess in our life. But He's got a big bucket, and He turns that big bucket up and pours it into our life. He said, here, son, here's something you ain't never known before. Here's you some love. Here's something, son, you ain't never known before. Here's you some joy. Here's you some peace. Here, son, I'm going to teach you how to be long-suffering. I'm going to teach you how to be gentle. I'm going to give you some meekness. I'm going to give you some faith. And I'll just tell you, son, everything I've poured in, there ain't no law ever been passed against it. Amen. Against such there is no law. What a blessing. Temperance. What a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. Let me give you this and I'm done. I talked about confidence in the grace of our Lord. Confidence that the race will be run. Confidence in the place where He put me. Last thing I see in the chapter, and we need this morning. I promise you we do. I didn't say you, we do. The last thing God showed me is confidence in the face of adversity. Watch verse number 28. The Bible said, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. Now, wait a minute. The Bible talked about it, I believe it was over in the book of Peter. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are people sitting in this room, and it's only the grace of God that the adversary didn't devour you in 2018. Help me. Watch this now. Preacher, confidence in the face of adversity. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You won't find that in the watered-down gospel. You'll find the health and wealth and fast cars and big houses. Send your check too. It's a lie. You read this book. Some of the godliest people that ever walked on the face of this earth suffered. How many of you in your family have watched godly, I'm talking about godly parents or godly grandparents or godly loved ones or godly friends or a godly pastor? How many have watched somebody that lives godly suffer in this world? Sister Gwen sitting back there, the last time I saw her sister eat over here, Sister Gwen, she had to throw her arm up on the table. She went like that. because she ain't got no elbow. It's gone. But I tell you, if you need somebody to pray for you, get a hold of Sister Dolores, because she'll get a hold of God.
Confidence in the face of adversity. I'll give you three statements the Lord gave me. With verse number 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversary, let me just say this. I hope I've built Jesus up, Brother Thurman. It's awful good to have him on your side or to be on his side, whichever way you want to put it. But there's no such thing as an ally without an enemy. We talked about the fellowship. Brother Lance, are you for me or against me? You're for me, ain't you, brother? You pray for me. So if I have an ally, I promise you that somewhere I have an enemy. If Jesus is our ally, and he is, I promise you that there's an enemy lurking in the shadows. I sometimes just back up in the corner and thank God that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. There's no such thing as an enemy or an ally without an enemy. The verse 29, unto you is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. I'm just going to say it. There's no such thing as salvation without suffering. Mark it down. You say, preacher, that's not the gospel I'm hearing on TV. I doubt if you get messages like that flying on jets like they fly on. Say amen. Got to have four jets and two landing strips and 12 different rings on 8 different fingers. You know what I'm talking about. I'd hate to stand before God. There's no such thing as salvation without suffering. The last thing, in verse number 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. There's no such thing as Christ without conflict. Beloved, when you and I got saved, it wasn't long after that we realized, Brother Joe, there's an old man still wants to hang around. There's a new man done took up his abode. You say, preacher, where do you get that in the Bible? Read it over in the book of James. The flesh and the spirit, how they lust one against the other. There's a conflict. You don't even have to have an external conflict. You get saved, beloved, I guarantee you there'll be an internal conflict before too long. You'll be wanting to look at something in the Spirit of God and say, uh-uh. You'll be wanting to go somewhere in the Spirit of God and say, uh-uh. You'll be wanting to do something in the Spirit of God and say, uh-uh. Not anymore. Nope. You'll be wanting to say something. And sometimes we fail. Somebody help me right there. Now what's the Spirit of God say? There's somebody waiting to hear from you. Fellowship's been broken. If you'll just talk to him about it and confess it. Get it right with your brother or your sister. Get it right with me. You can have fellowship once again. There's no such thing as an ally without an enemy. There's no such thing as salvation without suffering. And there's no such thing as Christ without conflict. As I look back at a year that's gone, I cannot remember, Jordan, one time. I can't remember one time. Not one time coming to this pulpit and not being confident that I had in front of me what my precious people needed. I said not one time.
Why? Because my confidence is not here. Beloved, he knows how I lean on him. He knows how that 20 minutes after 10 last night, I still did not have clear direction concerning this service this morning. A lot of people don't know what I'm talking about, Brother Gale. Oh, you say, preacher, you got all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Pick you something out. It ain't like that. There'll come a day, Brother Ralph, when I'll stand before God for every message. Oh, I'm not concerned about it being a Bible message. It's right there in the Bible. What I'm concerned about is it being the message that God wants for that hour, for that group of people. See, before the world, let me give you this. I'm done. Before the world was ever formed. Now, I'm confident of this. You may not be, but I'm confident. Preston, before the world was ever formed, God knew exactly who'd be sitting in this room today. He knew who would leave us and go down to the Salvation Army to serve the people. Down there, he knew who would stay. He knew every visitor. He knew everybody that would be right here this day. That's the confidence that I have in him. And I want to tell you this. He knew what we needed today. He knew that we needed a message to say, don't put your confidence in the government. Don't put your confidence in the Congress. Don't put your confidence in your money, in your bank account, in the stock market. Don't put your confidence in man. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. I just tell you, we're living in a society, listen to me carefully, I'm done, that's trying its best to tear down our confidence. They're teaching in math class now that 2 plus 2, not necessarily 4. That's not what you get graded on now. It's 2 plus 2 is 4. It's just how you got your answer. Help me. I'm going to tell you something. 2 plus 2 is 4. That is an absolute truth. But I'm going to tell you something that's more absolute than 2 plus 2 is 4. And that's that book. Amen. We call the Bible. It is absolute truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Charity, do you all have a song this morning? Thank you, honey. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Going to have an invitation song. We're ending 1 year and starting into another year. Where's your confidence? Where we put our confidence is going to determine whether or not we have peace in our heart, peace with God. Sister Teresa was used mightily of the Lord a while ago to sing a song that has a message in it. He loves you. Are you confident of that this morning, that he loves you? Let me ask you this. Are you confident that the same God that loves you hates sin? If you are, then that means sin has to be dealt with. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, because he knew we couldn't deal with our own sin. A price had to be paid. He went there and paid it all. I want to say publicly, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.